Okay, welcome everybody to the Hagmann Report live. This is Kirk Finney in North Carolina. I'm standing in for just a bit. Randy Taylor, we know Doug is out. Randy should be with us shortly. Want to welcome everybody to today's broadcast. It's very exciting. A lot going on right now in the news. Shocking stuff. I mean, that shouldn't be shocking to any of us, but of course it always is. Just when you think you have things figured out, you know, more stuff comes at you. And I have to think that that's the narrative that they want everybody to follow, you know, to be jerked around mentally so much that we lose, you know, our sense of what reality is. I tell you, you know, every day I try to listen to at least one or two different podcasts, you know, that come across on alternative media, you know, that I believe in, whether it's going to be one show or another. And yesterday I ran across a podcast that was on the Coffee and the Mic show, which is broadcast on all the podcast channels, including a Rumble video. And Mike Ferris was interviewing this man. His name is, I've got to put my reading glasses on at the risk of looking like Senator Schumer. On here, the person he was interviewing, if I can find my notes here, right? Here we go. Yeah, his name is, I think it's pronounced Jayant Bhandari. It's J-A-Y-A-N-T. He's obviously an India, you know, from India fellow. I thought it was very interesting. I guess he's a international investor and does a lot of traveling. Obviously a very, very well-traveled guy. And he was talking not only about the cultural differences between many, many Indians and many, many people here in the U.S., but there were certain things in this hour-long podcast that he kind of revealed that was shocking to me, you know, to take in. It made a lot of sense. You know, a lot of times we'll hear things that are new concepts, and they still ring true because many of us have the ability, you know, to discern, you know, right from wrong and truth from untruth. And it came across as very true. And I'm going to have Eric just play a portion of that. Then we're going to talk about it for a few minutes. And then we should have Randy Taylor with us at that time. Go ahead. If you would play that, Eric, that would be great.
This a society civil war, but nothing's kinetic yet. It's not hot.
And that's the problem. You better have a hot war so that a quick cleaning happens, because then you have clarity of thought. You know exactly what you want, which is mass scale deportation of people who do not fit in, or even on racial lines. But that is not going to happen. You can't change the thinking of a society overnight. And this is where I think, despite that, I like the spirit of the ultra right in the US. They will fail because they are isolated people. There's no social thinking emerging within the American society which wants to clean the society up. Here is another problem, Mike. Close to 50% of Americans are now people from the third world. So how are you going to clean up a society half of which is made up of people who would be deported according to the right-wing people? And I'm in a spirit, I'm with them. But how are you ever going to achieve that? That is an impossible job in a democracy. But even in a civil war situation, how are you going to get rid of half of your population?
It's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
So who's in worse shape right now, in your view, United States or Canada?
God, I think...
And before you answer that, Jayant, let me just bring up the fact that we're recording this today, which I'm going to put this out as soon as we're done, but Justin Trudeau has resigned as leader of his political party. So your thoughts on that, and then back to which country do you think is in a worse state?
I think Canada is very likely in a worse state, but it doesn't really matter, Mike, because both America and Canada are, the whole of the Western society is in a horrible shape right now. And without the U.S., nothing works. Without the U.S. is the spine of the Western world. If the U.S. goes, everything in the Western world will fall apart very quickly. They don't have their own defense systems. They don't have a moral spine by themselves without America. So I think America will, after Trump, will become a permanent Democratic Party country. It will become increasingly woke and leftist. And there's, of course, not going to be, you know, Trump is going to maybe slow down degradation of the U.S., but I don't see any hope for stopping that degradation. I think both of them are in very bad shape. Canada, there's a spirit in America. There's a spirit of liberty in America. There's a spirit in America to fight for certain values. Canada has increasingly become a lifestyle country. Great place. I love being in Canada. It's a great country. But it has increasingly become a lifestyle country. The economy has got screwed in the meantime. Trudeau was a big participant in destroying the economy of Canada. And also by bringing in millions and millions of people from the third world who don't fit in. So Canada is in a truly bad shape, but so is America. And I really don't think these countries have any hope for the future, because all America is going to be a third world people majority country within the next two decades. And Canada is only a step or two behind. So I don't have any hope from the Western world, despite that America continues to be the best country on the planet. But the future is really grim.
Oh, and even in the next 4 years, so you touched on that. Do you think Trump can slow this down? Because, I mean, we just spent almost an hour talking about immigration versus illegal versus legal. And, you know, legal, based on what we talked about, it sounds worse. And they're going to increase that.
Yes, and you get more legitimate news on this subject from the media in India. Apparently, H-1B will be even more eased up over the next at the moment. That's what is being discussed within the U.S. government. So, yeah, I completely agree. It will be very difficult for Trump to achieve much. You know, he did not achieve all that much in his last time as president. So what makes me think that he will achieve much today, but still he is a lot better than Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party. So I would have voted for him if I had the right to vote in the U.S. I would have even voted for Vivek over Kamala Harris. But I think the destruction of the U.S. is baked in the cake. It does not really matter what he can achieve or whether he can slow things down or even improve over the next 4 years. But what happens after 4 years is baked in the cake. So the next 4 years is just a blip in the scheme of things.
Would you have voted, Jayanne, if you were able to? Would you have participated in the system? Do you have faith in the voting systems in America?
Absolutely. I hardly ever vote. I have almost never voted in my life, but when the difference between two people is so huge, the way it is between Kamala Harris and Trump, I would have clearly gone for Trump, despite the fact that Trump has, Trump is no saint. Trump has done a lot of bad things in life, but the difference between Trump and Harris is so much that I would go for Trump without blinking an eyelid.
So in your view, then, in the next 4 years, Trump won't get a lot done. And so do you think because of all the promises that he's made, and you correct me here, I don't want to speak for you, all the promises that he's made, he won't be able to deliver. So then the country will shift back to the other side and move in that direction?
Well, the key is that demographics is the key. That's the higher order factor working against America. And demographics is that more than 50% of Americans under the age of 25 are ethnically non-European. And Mike, there is no country on the planet which has a non-European or non-East Asian majority and is still a civilization. Every single country which does not have a European or East Asian majority is a shithole. And that tells you that the higher order factor working against America. You could get Ron Paul or the most ideal person as the president of America. How are you going to turn things around? This is not a Titanic. This is a million times bigger Titanic. How are you going to change the direction of this Titanic when virtually every bureaucrat is against you. So Trump can do something, maybe he can slow things down, but how is he going to deal with the demographic collapse, the demographic problem that is coming, which is that the third world people are increasingly asserting themselves in politics. And after 20th of January, Republican Party will have to start thinking about how to win the election 2 years from now and 4 years from now. And every single urban center in North America is dominated by people from the third world. Anything like 60 to 80% of the population of every single urban area in North America has third world people in majority, up to 60 to 80% majority. So how are you really going to turn this Titanic around? There's no way out of this.
Okay, well, Eric,
we didn't even touch on the financial.
Yeah, so that's the part that I really wanted to focus on, was that, you know, a demographic shocker, you know, that upwards of 60% of the population under the age 25 in most of the big population centers are non-European and non-Eastern Asian. And the reason why we talked about Eastern Asian being separate from the rest of Asia is because they have, you know, the Japanese, even the Chinese, they have a tight structure. In other words, they have a certain cultural structure where they don't have a lot of craziness going on. And when you start looking at countries that are not China, Japan, maybe parts of Indonesia, when you start looking at other countries in the world that are not, you know, Northern American, European, or those places, it really starts to downgrade. And we wonder, is there any chance for us given this population change? And that's the discussion, you know, the major discussion coming from a man who himself is Indian, from India. And the first part of that podcast was very interesting because he really, really gets into the cultural differences between the average Indian and the average American and what those differences are, right down to the morality structure, you know, how we feel about, you know, being nice to people, all kinds of things, which were absolutely shocking to me. And, you know, for God's sakes, if we're only listening and watching and learning from the same stuff over and over again, we can't ever advance our understanding. And if we can't advance our understanding, we're never going to be able to fight this battle on the level that we see, you know, which is to me all psychological. I mean, everything we have going on. I watched today in shock on the news as Biden was visiting those, you know, terrible fire areas in California, and watching, you know, him talk, which was just insane. I mean, he brought another wacky thing up about a new great grandchild, as if anybody cares about that, you know, in the midst
of
this.
Man.
It was just, it was crazy. And then, so to watch that, and then along with the fire people there, the representatives, you know, the fire chief, and they had this gal, I think the fire chief. There was a 5'1", you know, 55 or 58 year old woman that couldn't carry a large child, let alone a human being, out of a building. And I mean, listen, if there's a big lady strong enough to pass those tests, and she wants to be a firefighter, you know, God bless her. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But this woman, who I think was in charge of something there in this major fire department,
she could be on Trump's detail.
I mean, it was just bizarre. And they were getting into this song and dance, this pony show, you know, that you would give if you were in the military, a visiting general. In the midst of this tragedy, they're talking about all the great things that they've done, you know, I'm sure they saved some lives, but my God, the whole place is burning to the ground. Why is it in the last 2 or 3 years, all these major fire areas are coastal, expensive, you know, luxury areas and other areas of the country that have, you know, alternative uses, you know, even when they're damaged? I mean, I just can't believe it. I feel like we're living in Alice in Wonderland, you know, every day that goes by. And then, you know, then, I mean, in the news big, I guess it was yesterday or today, you know, Senator Fetterman, you know, was on the news talking about, you know, his take on the, is it pronounced H-1B or HB-1? I think it's H-1B, isn't it? The whole, you know, supposed legal immigration tactic that they're using, which, and that's the other thing about this other interview with the Indian, you know, he really gets into that and explains that in every major city in India, this is in India, there's multi-story buildings, and all they do in that building is fix immigration documents for people that want to go work in America. And the way he described it, I mean, it was just like a factory where they're churning out, you know, fake information, fake resumes. I mean, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it when I heard this guy describe it all. And you just know in your heart that it rings true. And it's a sick world, you know, that we live in. But anyway, why don't we play that, Eric, that Fetterman interview? I thought that was pretty interesting. Here he comes in his black hooded sweatshirt.
All right, let me get that queued up.
Okay.
Like it's
all right, hang
it's
on,
really
folks,
common
it's
sense. And I'd like to remind everybody that we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of migrants here illegally that have convicted of crimes. And why, I don't know why, you know, who wants to defend that, to allow them to remain in our nation? They're that. And now if you're here illegally and you're committing crimes and those things, I don't know why anybody thinks that it's controversial that they all need to go.
Do you think that this was one of, if not the biggest issue for this election?
Well, I think if we can't, you know, there's 47 of us in the Senate, and if we can't pull up with seven votes, if we can't get at least seven out of 47, if we can't, then that's the reason why we lost. That's one of them. That's one of why we lost, in part.
And go ahead. Brett, if you think about that, I mean...
You're muted.
Eric, do we know who that lady is that was with him? Was she just another speaker? That wasn't his wife, was it?
Oh, man.
It was a time when his wife was kind of escorting him around and, you know, speaking with him and stuff. I don't think that's her, though. But I thought that was incredibly interesting. So I guess basically what he's saying is that of the Democratic senators, six or seven should vote to have these illegal aliens sent out of the country. And if not, there's something wrong with that picture. I thought that was interesting. You know, Randy had mentioned today in a communication with me, he said, you know, isn't it weird? Even Fetterman, you know, is speaking out against this thing. And my response to him was, well, we always know that Fetterman is an outlier. You know, you can tell by the way he dresses, by the way he performs. And that's the other thing. I don't think anybody, you know, is totally, well, I shouldn't say anybody. 99% of the people are neither totally bad or totally good. There's some mix in between, and everybody has their points. And you know, anybody, no matter what their association is or what their supposed allegiance is, once they get into a position of power like that, you know, as a senator or even in Congress, a lot of them are going to go their own way and things are going to happen and they're going to see things and they're going to be exposed to things that are going to make them turn one way or another. And if they don't do that, if we don't see that, then we know they're not real. And I think he definitely probably is a real guy. You know, I don't know what his deal was with his mental difficulty. It was an accident. Something was going on there that was kind of strange.
I think he had several strokes.
Okay. Okay. Well, it looks like he's healing up. It looks like he's getting better, you know, for sure. Who
yeah,
knows?
He's still a little twitchy, you know.
Yeah. But. Well, he may prove to be, you know, one of the folks that that we need in there. Who knows? But anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting. And then I know, you know, also in the news this week was General Milley. Do we have that clip? Could we bring that up too?
Yeah, I'll get it ready.
You keep coming up with these scoops regarding January 6th. Do you have anything else that's coming up?
Yeah, pay very close attention to probably, I thought it was going to be out today, but we got a couple little things we got to clean up on a new article. And we know for a fact now that General Mark Milley, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff back under the previous Trump administration, we know that in June of 2020, during the riots in the Summer of Love here in D.C., he actually directed and ordered and authorize the use of both heat and sound directed energy weapons to be used against the protesters in that event. And we have the photography now to prove it, to back it up. And we're going to be coming out with that story tomorrow. And then we'll be launching a series off of that first article that will lead us to January 6th as well.
Which just what, heat and sound, which would do what?
Well, there depends upon which switch is used.
Hmm.
It depends. If they are using sound energy weapons, they can be super audible or they can be sub audible. If they're set to super audible, that's supposed to scare people away from a riot. If they're set to sub audible, it can make people go crazy in their head and force them into violence. They call those agitation weapons.
So I'm going to go back and I'm going to like rewind about 10 minutes ago when I said that I believe that January 6th was total entrapment by the United States government in order to weaponize their own agencies against their people. I'm just going to go ahead and rewind and I'm going to say that again. And I'm going to go ahead and double down on that at this point, Steve.
You probably have valid reasons to feel.
Yeah, so very, very interesting. You know, these are a fashion of what they call blue light blocking glasses. They're not as strong as many of them are. The stronger ones are, you know, really pinker in color. But the idea is that the blue light that's emanated from every monitor out there and every television set, including all these LED light bulbs that we're now exposed to everywhere, that blue light actually interrupts functions in the body that are designed to release certain hormones. And, you know, do things like interrupt your sleep, make you more susceptible to psychological input, you know, no matter where that comes from, cause you to gain weight. Does anybody know anybody that's gained weight in the last 5 years or last 2 months? And, you know, the blue light. So everything with the phone, you know, to the computer, to the iPad, to the monitor, to all the lights. I mean, I look in my little studio room here and I've got, you know, 2,000 LED lights, you know, all around me. And we love them because they're cool and they're convenient. But the problem with the blue light is it comes at the absence of the red light. You know, a lot of the light that comes out of the sun is red light based. It's a mixture of red and blue. And when you have that mixture, certain things happen in your body the way God designed them to happen. And when you don't have that mixture, either too heavy, one or the other, can become very detrimental, especially the blue light. So I thought that was interesting. So, you know, to hear them talk about the, you know, directed energy weapons, the sound weapons, the heat weapons, they're not talking about heat like from a torch. They're talking about microwave heat. They're talking about heat that comes across in radio waves and how they can use that to just totally blow out all of your, you know, neural functions and everything. And they've been using this stuff for a long time. Every day with all of us, with all this blue light technology, that's the design of it. And it fits right in with the whole, you know, social media, you know, the move to create all the psychological warpings and changings, you know, through the social media that a lot of us have read about, to the point where these big tech companies won't let their children use the devices that we push, you know, on all of our younger children. I know that Dr. Ted's son talks about that all the time, how, you know, how dangerous that is and how bad, you know, the iPads being forced on a three, four, five-year-old are. I see it too, you know, with my grandkids. And still, you know, some of them are going to come out great, some of them are not. But all of that exposure to those screens is not good. That's for sure. Not to mention, you know, the programming, obviously, that's behind all of it. So it's a dangerous world in which we live, in which we're getting into. And it's going to become only more dangerous as time goes by. Another thing that
there's direct energy weapons all around us.
That's right.
Cell towers are direct energy weapons.
Yeah,
probably some of these drones.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I was watching I think it was a BBC, you know, on the streaming, the BBC channel from Britain. There was a mini series of like 6 or 7 episodes about a submarine, and it was about a British submarine and you know, a criminal investigation that's going on in the middle of this nuclear submarine. It was kind of interesting. And then the second season, although it was named after the submarine, was not the submarine. it opened up with this 30-minute showing of what these attack drones do in the field. You know, in this instance, in this show, the attack drones became out of control, and the control was taken. It's supposed to be a demonstration for weapons purchases of other companies, other countries. And they had all these guys there in the grandstand, you know, viewing this. And then all of a sudden they lost control of the drones. And you see the firing, the missiles, the rockets that these things are capable of sending off. I mean, it is unbelievable. And, you know, a lot of us think, you know, we might be safe because of, you know, weapons and things that we might possess, you know, light rifles and stuff. And you see one of these things. I had never seen drones do what was depicted in this a show. It was absolutely shocking and incredible. So, you know, the whole landscape.
Even the drones that we purchased for Ukraine, I mean, they hunt down Russian soldiers in bunkers.
Right.
They just drop a stinking mortar on them.
Yep. And that's what these things were doing. And they had miniguns on them, too. I don't know if the ones that we sent to Ukraine did, but these things had miniguns like some of the airships do. And it was just incredible to watch. I mean, and they were fairly small. They were maybe, I don't know, like the wingspan, you know, or the propeller span was maybe like, you know, 5 feet or 4.5 feet. And it was just shocking, you know, to watch it. And
even the drones in Ukraine aren't that big. It's crazy, that technology. I personally think it should be illegal, but.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, we may be headed, you know, in that direction. It's definitely scary, you know, what they can do. And then also, wasn't there a video that you had talking about Trump originally years back warning Governor Newsom about the fires and about being able to control brush and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Don't we have that we could play too?
Let me find it. Give me a couple of seconds here.
Sure. But yeah, it's a scary, scary world, you know, in that which we live, and things are getting worse, it seems, not better. Hopefully, we'll turn some of this around. It's definitely going to be interesting, I mean, with Trump in office, and to see what's going to happen, you know, with some of these new department heads. But
I've got that video ready.
Okay,
but let's play back it. To the like direct sure. energy weapons. I mean, China's been using that forever. Their sound weapons that they can drop crowds and disperse crowds with ease. Like, there was a concert I went to once, and a bad frequency came through the sound system, and everybody's knees just buckled, and everybody just dropped.
Wow.
Like, it's serious. Those sound frequencies. So
this was also, you think, a control weapon as opposed to just music? Or
it could have been a test, or it could have just been air. I would probably lean more towards sound engineer air. But
Sure.
It was crazy. It just
you saw the effect that it had physically.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. And that's probably just a low dose. That's not even a high dose of frequency. Like,
sure. Well, you know, the light crazy. That we were talking about before, the blue light and the red light, that actually converts into sound in the body, which is how it affects things like the proteins and other, you know, other neurological aspects. So not only can it affect feelings and emotions, but it can also have physical transformation in the body, which is just incredible. So, I mean, you can only imagine, you know, where this is going to take us.
Yeah, we don't need any more triple nipples.
No.
I've got this video ready.
No, we don't. Well, let's check out that video.
This is Trump visiting California with Newsom. When was this? Like 4 years ago?
4 or 5 years ago.
Five. Right? Yeah.
Well, that'd be five, yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's cleaned out and protected. You got to take care of the floors, you know, the floors of the forests, very important. You look at other countries where they do it differently, and it's a whole different story. I was with the president of Finland, and he said, we have a much different, we're a forest nation. He called it a forest nation. And they spend a lot of time on raking and cleaning and doing things, and they don't have any problem. And when it is, it's a very small problem. So I know everybody's looking at that to that end, and it's going to work.
That's it.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And that's not the only time that Trump had talked about that. I had seen it on several news clips and things, you know, throughout his presidency as well. He would bring that up as an example of, you know, something that could be done in California, you know, to mitigate this problem with these wildfires. And, you know, I know they create like channels in the woods and pathways, you know, for fires to go where they can control them when they break out. And I guess Newsom hasn't done that. And evidently, according to a mayoral candidate that we heard on the news today, they actually cut back funding to the fire departments, you know, in that area prior to this, you know, tragedy happening. So, and it was just something to see. I mean, I couldn't believe it on TV, you know, the size of the flames, the amount of the area that was affected, and something like 1,000 homes had already burned down. And this was before lunch, I think. So goodness knows where it's at now.
Yeah, I mean, wind speeds are reaching 100 miles an hour. That's hurricane category.
I saw that. Yep.
That's just fire stoker.
Yeah, it's like blowing into a barbecue. I mean, it just creates a giant, you know, tumultuous increase, you know, in the flames.
Well, it's like a big rocket stove.
Yeah, and the other problem too, you know, there, which was a big deal, they mentioned this on the news as well, that they were actually running out of water, that the reservoirs that they had, you know, for this purpose had already been exhausted. And there were periods of time where the firefighters just didn't have access to any water. I thought that was insane. I couldn't believe that. But I guess, you know, given the size of this event, you know, you can see how it would happen in an area like that. I'm surprised I guess there's no way for them to pump it in and use the seawater. That's a shame. Maybe they can't, or maybe I don't know, but because it was kind of down by the beach area, wasn't it, a lot of it?
I mean, you think you would be able to do that, but there's probably regulations that handcuff them from stinking doing that. So
how about
they just break off? I know there's a lot of good people in chat right now from California. Hello, you know who you are. But pieces of that state need to break off. And you know who has really good water? Canada.
Sure.
Let's get some of that.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, if we could build a pipeline.
Or just take it over.
Right. Right. Well, it's interesting because I remember 20 years ago, you know, they were talking about how the deep state, you know, wanted to combine these countries, you know, Mexico, Canada, and U.S. and create a quote unquote regional area that would be one of seven or eight, you know, regional areas, you know, a la the novel 1984. And, you know, that was going to happen, and they were going to replace the dollar with something called the Amero. I don't know if you remember that. And, you know, now, you know, Trump is saying basically that he wants to do that, you know, couched in an Americana, you know, viewpoint. But the end result would still be the same, you know, from a control perspective.
Yeah.
So while that sounds exciting, you know, and patriotic, we have to keep an eye on that because there could be very big downsides to that as well.
Yeah.
Although I don't know. I mean, I don't know that much is happening, you know, in Canada right now that's good. So I think that, you know, I don't know. It certainly would be
most likely we are not taking over Canada.
Right.
But if we did, the fishing's good. You know that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, it's a great place. Yeah. I've been there.
My biggest
times.
Thing is it'd be great to get full control of the Great Lakes. So yes, even if we took like a portion of it, say like half, I mean, we pay to protect that country billions of dollars.
What's the benefit of the Greenland expansion? Just the fact of its proximity to the North Pole? Is that what they're thinking? Or
I don't know, but I would assume it's strictly resources.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the most lush countries that exists. It might be.
Right. Right. There could be a lot of oil and gas there, too.
There's probably tons of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting.
But like California, they won't drill it.
Now, do we have some video clips of that fire in California? I think we do, don't we?
We have a picture of it. Wait, maybe we do. Yeah, there is a short video. It's just really loud wind.
Ah.
I can cue it up here. So we can see the wind and this palm tree just bending.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, let's check this out. I'm sure it smells great there right now.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's, can you imagine?
Yeah, we had,
I mean,
those...
I saw one video clip of a dog in a house looking out the window. And I mean, the flames were right there, you know, maybe 20 feet outside the window. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And depending on the direction of the wind, like that smoke goes across states. When there was those fires in Canada across the lake from us in Pennsylvania, like you could smell it.
It you could smell it down here in North Carolina.
Yeah. It went all the way down the East Coast. So this is, I mean, hopefully it blows out to the ocean so these people don't breathe all this crap in, but geez.
Now, did you guys talk this last couple of days about the events that happened in New Orleans and also in Vegas?
Yeah, we have. We covered it. And, probably the last 2 days we covered it.
Did you uncover the supposed manifesto?
Yes.
That the Vegas guy had written? I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah. That whole storyline.
Yeah. What show is that on? I forget his name.
Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck aired it.
He commented on it. I don't know if it was on another show as well. It probably was. But I thought that was just pretty interesting. They were talking about the anti-gravitic, you know, vehicles and weapons. And did you catch that part of it?
Yeah, I think Doug did. And okay. Doug also, he read a lot of the transcript and he thinks multiple people wrote it.
Right.
So that puts up a little flag.
Right. Yeah. I don't doubt. I mean, it's impossible to know what's really the truth and what's a story.
Yeah.
And, I think much of it is a story, you know, it's all like a scripted play that's designed to create a certain emotional, you know, response or emotional narrative picture.
Yep.
That then feeds, you know, into the next step.
I mean, I'd assume he was programmed. So.
Right.
And he was just going in and out of personality.
It kind of upsets me that it seems like as of late, a lot of these stories or events seem to feed into special forces. And, you know, the special forces more than any other group is the ones responsible for going into these countries and orchestrating, you know, psychological warfare. And in many cases, you know, creating civil unrest, because if they can get two factions of an enemy force fighting against one another, it becomes less load and less work for us. Yeah. And of course, you know, they don't do that willingly. I mean, there's reasons and excuses and everybody feels like they're doing the right thing with the mission. I'm sure in some instances they are, but I find it very interesting that it's almost like they want to portray the special forces as evil. Because it just keeps coming up, you know, again and again and again.
Yeah, we need more trans people.
Right. And that really concerns me. I haven't seen any trans special forces people.
Can we just start a trans army and just call it, just leave it at that? Just let them mingle together?
Jeez. Yeah. The whole thing is just so crazy. I mean, to even think back, I mean, 5-6 years ago, we wouldn't have even, you know, thought to discuss any of this. It's just crazy.
That main interview was on the Sean Ryan show. Thank you, Lenny, in the chat.
Okay, cool. Y'all yeah, have to check that out. I didn't see that. I saw the Glenn Beck commentary, but I didn't see the Sean Ryan. I'll have to go back and check that. I don't think I've ever seen Sean Ryan. I've heard
he's really good. He's good. Again. He does more of the just one-on-one like interview style, not really news stuff, but pieces and things like that. He's really good. He's good at doing it.
Do you follow Leo Homan?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Leo's been on the show.
Yeah. He's
many great. Times.
Yeah. He's great. He's got a
great Substack.
He had a great post that came out. I think it was today or yesterday.
Let me get to that.
Talking about the pandemic, you know, the new one, the bird flu one. And he actually cited some very interesting statistics, which to me were shocking. And you know, acted, you know, or displayed in total contravention to everything that they're about to announce and roll out about this thing, because he thinks they're just going to go right back to the masks and the lockdowns and all of this.
Do you remember what that was called, that post?
No, but it's if you go to leohoman.com, it's the first one there, pretty sure. or it was a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, it's on top of his Substack.
Yeah.
Right in front of my face. Let's click on this. Yeah, because whoever's not following Leo, you got to follow Leo. He puts everything on his Substack.
He's just a great writer.
Yeah, and he's a good dude. There it is.
Now, how come I don't see a full screen on my thing? Do you know why?
Just hover over it and click on pin. Should be a little box that pops up.
Aha, got it. Cool.
So you can read that now.
Yep. It says, according to the medical doctor, pandemic preparedness, industry like arsonists running the fire department.
Yeah.
And then he goes in to say, now, can we read this? Can you scroll down?
Yeah.
Okay. So Biden created, should I start at the top?
Sorry. Yeah, go for it.
Biden created another layer of federal bureaucracy when he created the Permanent Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response Policy. Will Trump abolish this freedom-killing monster? Don't bank on it. Okay. And then the body of the article. I reported, and this is him speaking, I reported back in July of 23 that the Biden administration had created a Permanent Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response Policy. This encapsulates everything that is wrong with our government at both the federal and state levels. Today, I came across an excellent article at the Brownstone Institute that I'd like to share because it speaks to the indignity of the growing industry known as pandemic preparedness. Yes, it has become an industry, and that should send chills down the spines of every freedom-loving American. The article at Brownstone warrants our attention because it is authored by a physician with the rare courage to stand up and state the obvious about what's going on in our country right now. Forced masking, lockdowns, vaccine mandates, social media censorship are all coming back. Scroll a little. They're all on the table as options. They're all on the table as options our overlords claim to have the authority to implement at any time under the guise of protecting us from a pandemic. Last time it was COVID, a disease pre-engineered in government laboratories. Now it's the bird flu, a disease that's been around for as long as it's been birds. And why, when we've already been through this tragedy and seen through all the lies, is it coming back around again like a bad dream that keeps repeating itself? I'll tell you why. Because the globalist elites who ran the first psychological operation, many of them tied in with the military and intelligence agencies, know from experience that they can get away with it. We as a once free people now allow ourselves to be ruled over like slaves serving their masters, when in fact, if we still had a viable republic, the government officials would be serving us, not the other way around. They would fear us. We wouldn't fear them. At the end of the day, this globalist agenda is a dehumanizing agenda. For slaves to be fully subdued, they must be submissive to their masters, even when the orders given are completely nonsensical and ludicrous. They say it, we do it, no questions asked. At this point, if they do it again, we don't even need to ask questions. We simply say, no, we will not comply. Anyone who still can't see this reality and refuses to resist is at this point just as much a part of the problem as the government overlords and their lying media hacks who oppress us. Please read and share the article below by Dr. Clayton Baker. Yeah, there's some statistics in here I want to cover, Eric, if we can find that or scroll down to it. I don't know if we have to click. Okay. In December of 31-24, so just a few days ago, the world received a year-end parting gift from the good folks at NIAID, Anthony Fauci's old fiefdom at the National Institutes of Health. NIAID, the same unaccountable and secretive agency that Fauci used to fund the gain-of-function research at the Ralph Barry at UNC Chapel Hill and the pet lady in Wuhan that resulted in COVID, as a new director, one Jeannie Marazzo. Marazzo and another NIAID colleague, Dr. Michael Eisen, wrote a year-end editorial in the New England Journal of Medicine that accompanies a research paper on the recent H5N1 bird flu cases in the U.S., as well as a case report of a long case of severe illness associated with bird flu in British Columbia, Canada. Morazzo and Eisen summarized the findings of the research paper and case report as follows. Investigators now report in the journal a series of human cases from the U.S. and Canada. The former series involved 46 case patients with generally mild self-limited infection with influenza type H5N1 with exposure to poultry, 25 with exposure to dairy cows, and one with an undefined exposure. Most case patients presented with conjunctivitis, which is a light eye infection, almost half with fever, and a minority with mild respiratory symptoms, and all of them recovered. The only hospitalization occurred in the case was a patient with the undefined exposure, although hospitalization was not for respiratory illness. They elaborate on the single case of the one serious illness in Canada, a 13-year-old girl with mild asthma and obesity presented with conjunctivitis and fever and had progression to respiratory failure. After treatment that included various drugs, she recovered. So in other words,
you don't want to read those off? You don't want to read those off?
Yeah. The drugs? Well, one of them, it looks like, is it sort of related to remdesivir, or is it also remdesivir, amiodarone, and Baloxar? I have weird resolution on my screen for some reason, so it's difficult. When the words are difficult, it really becomes difficult. So in other words...
Don't worry, Doug always skips those.
Okay, I tried to. Over an eight-month period from March to October, 46 cases of human bird flu occurred in the U.S. And we're talking about a country, folks, of 336 million. So 46 out of 336 million. So, you know, 10 times more people slipped on a banana peel and died that night than contracted this, just to bring this back to reality. And there were zero deaths. So 45 out of 46 infected persons had known exposure to animals. The majority of the cases consisted of, again, the pink eye. Only one U.S. patient was hospitalized, but this was not due to pneumonia, the principal life-threatening complication of influenza, and the patient recovered. So suffice to say, the bottom line is there is no deaths created by this to any degree. So to think that we would be thrown into another COVID-like scenario is insanity. And clearly, they're just looking for reasons to create this should it happen. I don't know that it will. Homan seems to think it might. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. There's a lot of people out there that are just not cognizant enough to see the reality of what this is. And we know they've got to greatly reduce the population. I mean, this is their goal and has been for the last 50 or 60 years.
We have a good video for this.
Okay, cool.
Alex Jones, great. Red Alert, Bill Gates is trying to launch a new pandemic.
Okay, let's check it out. Let's go to the videotape.
Given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that. But also there will be a surprise outbreak. And I hope by the end of my relatively short presentation, you will understand why history, and the history of the last 32 years that I've been the director of NIAID, will tell the next administration that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they will be faced with the challenges that their predecessors were faced with.
Here's the reason why we need to care about this stuff, Nicole, is that we have some big picture stuff coming down the pike starting on January 21st. Mr. Bloomberg mentioned H5N1. That I'm really worried about. It's all over wild birds on the western part of the United States and going up in the north. It's getting into the poultry. We're seeing sporadic human cases, no human-to-human transmission yet, but that could happen. It's in the cattle. It's in the milk. And that's just the beginning. We have another major coronavirus likely brewing in Asia. We've had SARS in 2002, SARS-2, COVID-19 in 2019. And we know these viruses are jumping from bats to people thousands of times a year. But there's still more. We know that we have a big problem with mosquito-transmitted viruses all along the Gulf Coast, where I am here in Texas. So we're expecting dengue and possibly Zika virus coming back, or a Apuche virus, maybe even yellow fever. And there's more. Then we have all this sharp rise in vaccine-preventable diseases going up because of, in part, the anti-vaccine activism that's so prominent right now. We have a five-fold rise in pertussis cases, whooping cough over the last year, 15 measles outbreaks this year. We've got polio that's been in the wastewater in New York State. All that's going to come crashing down on January 21st on the Trump administration. We need a really, really good team to be able to handle this.
And remember, they kept saying, Trump's going to use the military on you. Trump's going to kill you. Well, they were the ones that in August of this year, Biden signed orders and the Pentagon put out its new policy and new manual on lethal force against American citizens during civil unrest and collapse. Remember that just a few months ago? Me going crazy on it hundreds of times? Well, that's all still on the books 14 days before Trump gets in. And then Hotez comes out a month ago, just played the clip earlier, and says, we're going to hand that to you. So when you read SPARS 2025, 2028, drill with the government and all the usual suspects and John Hopkins and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation groups, that was a big exercise. And then months before they launched COVID, they had the Event 201 at Johns Hopkins that goes to the specifics so they could get into the media and prepare. And even the fake newscast that then if you watch those newscasts, we'll play clips of it in a moment, were almost identical to then what the newscasts were for COVID. It's the script, folks. There's Fauci. There'll be a surprise pandemic out of Asia. It's a bunch of clips of him saying the thing. Trump will be challenged by it. And then Hotez a month ago, Trump's going to not get his agenda through. He's going to get hit by a new pandemic crashing down on him. But you know Hotez was at the new Event 201 operation titled Catastrophic Contagion. And he didn't go on the news in late November and early December when he made these statements. He was on a lot. We just play that clip because it's the most detailed one. He did a bunch of news interviews and said even more creepy stuff in the Houston Chronicle. But we need to arrest people that don't go along with the next lockdown. The former head of Google still heads it up. It's a company that owns it, Alphabet. Eric Schmidt says we need NATO and the UN to occupy America and Europe during the next lockdown and arrest the anti-vaxxers. Got Tedros saying it. Are you starting to figure this out? You got Dr. Ryan, the head of the UN's Global Emergency Response, saying we need to arrest people. Already played those clips. Martial law, folks. And they don't call it martial law. They call it a medical emergency. And China, of course, volunteers in the global system to do this because they're allied with the left and BlackRock. They want to stop Trump. They want to stop you. So they'll volunteer to start the martial law first, roll it out there. Keep it out of the news here. When they're ready, say, oh, my God. And then the hysteria begins again. And they're even using the same country again. Yeah, this is China time-lapse building their quarantine camps all to UN specs, just like they did all over the world. And now they've radically expanded them quietly. And Governor Hochul of New York and others are now saying, oh, yeah, we need legislation passed to lock up not just people we say are sick with no evidence, but people that criticize the lockdowns. And in Europe and in Australia, New Zealand, they're saying we're going to arrest people that don't go along with the lockdowns next time and put them in the quarantine camps. Not because they have a virus that they've made up or a fake PCR test, but because, well, we can't let them stop us keeping you safe. Remember what Jacinda Ardern said over in New Zealand. You only listen to me. I'm your only source of truth. And everything she said was a lie. And now she's this big WEF spokesperson on disinformation. And you got the head of the UN coming out a few weeks ago again and saying we need to shut down and censor anybody during the next pandemic. So I am sure of it. It mirrors what they did 5 years ago. It's the same document, the same operation, the same group. I'm not even sure of it. It's a fact. They're doing it. And again, you have to roll it out to your system and to your administrators and to the media executives a few weeks before you go live. When what did Hotez say a month ago? When Trump day one has a new pandemic crashing down on him and he throws out 11 things but doesn't tell you the thing that they put in their real battle plan a month and a half before in October, catastrophic contagion, because they don't want other independent media to investigate it and to spotlight it and to look at it, or anybody, an independent medical group, to go get samples of it to put it under an electron microscope or in a CRISPR system to see if it's man-made like COVID. They want to hit you flat-footed. So they got to wait to the last minute and give their orders and roll out their operations. And 14 days before Trump being inaugurated is, in the time frame of politics and the world, the blink of an eye, it's a sucker punch.
Wow. Incredible.
You ready for the quarantine camp?
Yeah, you know, when I saw that originally,
you unvaccinated bald man.
When I saw the bow tie guy originally, it was like maybe 10 days ago or 14 days ago. And when they played that on Alex Jones, they also had a Simpsons clip. Did you see that Simpsons clip?
I didn't know.
Oh, it's so funny. Who's the guy that the Schroyer, Owen Schroyer?
Yeah, Owen.
He was the MC at the time, and they played the bow tie guy, and then they went to like a 2 minute Simpson clip. I don't know from what episode it was, but it was these people hanging out, you know, in this office around a table planning the pandemic, you know, these government people. And they were going to make a case that it was being transmitted through cats. And the way they did it was just so funny. Oh my God. Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing for about an hour.
I'll put you on screen with your buddy. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a trip, huh?
So we need to send our trans army to go visit Gates, to go visit Fauci. We got to get this together.
Was that Melinda Gates with Bill Gates? It was, right, on screen? That little clip that where he was talking for a second. Yeah, I think it was Melinda. Yeah, that's Melinda, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yep.
Boy, she is an unattractive woman, huh? My goodness. He's not very hot looking either, that guy. I mean, he's always been kind of creepy. I could just see her dressed up, you know, in an outfit with a black hood, you know, one of those events, you know, in a castle. You could just picture it.
Yeah. But these camps are more than just, hey, if you don't comply, or if you're sick, you're going in here. That's the excuse they're using.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But those camps are for Christians, people that don't call themselves Christians but follow Jesus.
Right.
Like, if you don't comply and take possibly the mark, then you're in. And the guillotines come out. There's guillotines all over this country ready to go.
Yeah, I've seen those clips too. That's pretty scary. You know, the truth is none of us get out alive anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, we got to make the best of what we've got and fight back every way we possibly can, you know, and hope that God will intervene to the point of turning this around, because I'm not sure there's many ways out of this scenario that we now find ourselves in, especially with the democratic, you know, demographic, you know, components that are kicking in. Not only here, but of course everywhere in Europe. And I don't know that you can easily overcome that. And consequently, I think we're in for, you know, a real ride. And, you know, we did obviously and you get a few years of reprieve, I think, with Trump. But yeah, that's, you know, ultimately, it still comes back to the same place.
Yeah, as long as Trump's on our side, that's all it is a reprieve.
Yep.
Just like last time.
Yep. Only he's more educated at this point. And I'd love to see some of these people get punished, you know, for what they've done, because it's just absolutely incredible. People like, you know, General Milley and, you know, Fauci and these other people that were really, you know, heavily involved. I mean, the, you know, the bosses at the FBI, all these people, they just need to pay the price.
Yeah. We need to work with a Putin-like person and take out some garbage. That's what needs to happen. Silently behind the scenes. Yeah, you come here, you do that for us. We'll go there and do that for you.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many people, you know, tied up in the bureaucratic structure that you have to rely on to get any of these things done. And I think a lot of them are either just brain dead, you know, don't really care, don't understand, will do anything to preserve, you know, their retirement and their other benefits. And I kind of think that's where we're at. You know, and the universities that many of these people went to have been pitching this socialist crap, you know, for the last four decades, to the point where people don't know the truth. And they, you know, they've never seen the downside of it, which is the reality. It's kind of like that joke, you know, where you're in this great, you know, St. Peter says, do you want to go up or down? You say, well, you know, there's a big party going on down. They go down there and they find out that, you know, they're having this great cocktail party. All this great stuff is going on. And then all of a sudden the chains get, you know, clamped on, the fires turn up, and they realize they're in hell. And the old joke was, well, the first part was just the opportunity meeting. And I kind of think that a lot of people get sucked up in that. You know, they think they're behind something that makes complete logical sense, because they haven't seen what it turns into, you know, what happens when that system that they think is so great actually, you know, meets human nature. And yeah. It's a very, very ugly, ugly picture. And, you know, society is held together by, you know, fragmented threads. And it doesn't take much to upset that. And then you see all the food. I mean, my goodness, all these food recalls that we've seen just in the last month. It's crazy.
Where does that food go?
I think it goes into storage.
It does. You got it.
Yep. Yep. I think it goes into storage.
That's in North Carolina, right? That storage facility, the cheese storage facility.
I don't know. I've never seen that. Have you seen an article that revealed that?
Yeah, I think it's North Carolina.
I thought a lot of that stuff anybody was in the foothills in Missouri.
Does anybody in chat? It might be Missouri. Does anybody in chat know where that main storage place is? They say they store cheese there, but they bring everything there.
I thought it was like the caves of Missouri.
It might be.
I'm sure there's a lot of locations. I mean, just in and around Washington, I mean, there's tons of, you know, government, you know, locations.
Smokin' said Springfield, which I would assume Missouri.
Yep. Well, there's Springfields in every state, but the big one is in Missouri.
Yep.
In Massachusetts.
Yep, Missouri, Missouri.
Probably not Massachusetts. So anyway, I guess Randy's still being detained, huh?
Yeah, it's just you and I.
Cool. Well, that sounds good.
So what else think we have? I think we have some more videos concerning the HMPV stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to see those. Yeah, I haven't gotten into that much, and I'd love to see the ones we have,
video 8. It's not actually a video. It's just an article, but we can put it up and read the title and stuff.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. HMPV virus, latest. U.S. monitoring China cases as Bali steps up checks on flights from the country. And this was dated when? This was today? Is it tomorrow? No. Does it say Thursday the 9th?
It's dated today.
Oh, it's England time.
Yep, England.
Okay. So authorities in Bali have asked nationals from China and Malaysia to fill out a health pass 3 days before their arrivals into the island nation of Bali.
Hey, fill this out.
Yep. Well, you got to fill out forms anyway. So what's another one, right?
Yeah.
The U.S. is monitoring cases of human metapneumovirus, metapneumovirus, HMPV.
Yeah. HMPV.
Okay. Infections after a reported surge in cases across China. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said it was currently looking at reports of increasing cases in the U.S., but played down any concern. It comes as Indonesia has started monitoring flights from China and Malaysia amid concern over rising HMPV infections across the region. Those traveling to Bali will have to fill out a form 3 days before their arrival to the island, providing a record of passengers' health, according to local health authorities. Singapore said on Wednesday it had witnessed a spike in HMPV infections at the end of 2024, but added that it was consistent with expectations due to the increased social gatherings and holiday travel.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Is that the end?
It's not. Okay. Yeah, this is the end.
All right. Dr. Sonia, whatever, infectious disease expert, associate professor of medicine at the Australian National University, said it was vital for China to share information in a timely manner. And again, you know, I wonder about the legitimacy. You know, I wouldn't be shocked at all, Eric, if they didn't come up with an actual disease that does create, you know, traumatic response so they can further the story. But it definitely is not this typical bird flu, that's for sure.
Listen, China's doing gain of function around the clock, so it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Well, you know, we always talk about the importance of having storage food on hand and plenty of potable water, you know, or a device to create it. I mean, that's absolutely essential. And, you know, obviously some form of protection. You know, we're not worried so much about the government coming after us as we are about, you know, hungry neighbors and others, you know, roaming maybe out of the cities that haven't prepared, that are looking to take, you know, what you have. And that's the concern.
I mean, look at the wildfires. There's looting all over the place.
I know there is. I know there is. And, you know, I find that shocking. I mean, I guess I shouldn't. I mean, I'm sure they can still get jewelry and other things, right, that haven't burned.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably just regular citizens going in or fire people going in and saying, hey, while we're in here, like a couple right. guys, hey, let's scoop some of this. Let's scoop some of this.
Who knows? Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only do you lose your home, but you're not going to be able to find any of your jewelry, weapons, anything.
Well, and I guess a lot of the folks are without insurance or without adequate insurance.
Yeah. That's a big thing. I think we got some stuff on that too. If we want to, are we done with virus stuff?
I guess. I don't know what more I can add, you know, to what we already, to what all of us already know. It sounds like they're planning something for later January, February, as they did in 2020. And I wouldn't be shocked to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you see latest pictures of Trump? It looks like he's lost about 20 pounds.
Probably because he's so busy.
Maybe. It'll be interesting to see him on inauguration. He looked good the last photo I saw.
Yeah, maybe he's working out.
Maybe. Maybe.
He doesn't have time to work out. Let's not kid ourselves.
You wouldn't think he did. No, he does.
Of course, he doesn't sleep, so he probably does have time.
Maybe. Maybe. What else do we have that we could show?
Since you were talking about rations and water and food and sure. prep, I think video 4.
Okay, let's show it.
This is obvious, but we can play it. All right, here we go. So I guess that's not a report video. That's just a, but we got this. LA running out of water as Pacific Palisades wildfire forces 30,000 from Malibu to Calabasas to evacuate.
Jeez. 30,000 people. My goodness.
And you brought this up earlier, running out of water.
Well, I had seen in the news that they had, I don't know, several millions in a reservoir, you know, designed just for firefighting, and all of it was gone.
That's, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see if it says anything about that.
I had thought I had seen earlier today that it already had affected 1,000 acres. Something we saw earlier said 250, but I think it had gotten much larger than that.
Yeah, it says fire broke out into the foothills near Eaton Canyon and has grown to 1,000 acres. So it's over 1,000 acres for sure by now.
Jeez.
And that wind's just going to push it.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, our hearts really go out to all those folks that are affected by it. It's just a terrible tragedy. And I think I saw, there wasn't many deaths, right? There was just a few, at least this afternoon. Some relatively tiny amount, like 3 or 2, despite the fact that 1,000 homes had burned. So I guess they did a great job in the evacuation.
Well, people in those areas are used to that, too. It's kind of like hurricanes in Florida. Like,
God.
If it's coming, you just got to go.
Unbelievable. Such an expensive area, too. You know, all the landscaping ruined, the houses.
Tragic. Here's the sheriff's warning to the looters.
I want to make sure people know deputies are working to assist residents who are evacuating and continuing to make evacuation notices as we're speaking. They are securing areas that are evacuated, and it's always sad when I have to say this, but part of our responsibility is to make sure that no one loots or steals from our residents, our community members who are already being impacted. And I'm sad to report we made 2 arrests this morning for looting already. So if you are thinking about coming into any of these areas to steal from our residents, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be caught, you're going to be arrested, and you're going to be prosecuted. Don't do that. Stay out of these areas. It's only for emergency workers and people who live there.
Crazy stuff. Absolutely crazy.
However, though, how much police force do they have to take care of things like that?
Not many. I mean, I would think a couple of hundred.
They're pretty defunded, too.
And they're going to have to be willing to go into that fire area, right? Or are they kind of thinking that the looting is happening once the fire goes down? I mean, a lot of this stuff just looked destroyed. I mean, to me.
Yeah, it just melts. Everything melts. But who knows? It might be, it's probably people getting into houses before they burn because of the evacuation. People are gone. Right. So I'd assume that's where they're nabbing people.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, we talked about Donald Trump, you know, looking like he's lost some weight. We'll see on the 20th, I guess, or before. Certainly Alex Jones has dropped 20 or 30 pounds. He looks great as well. A lot of that may just be from stress, you know, from what he's been through, but I understand that he's back to his weightlifting, you know, regimen, but he looks tremendous. I mean, he looks better than he has at any time in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the season we're in now. I mean, it is kind of weight loss season. Anybody looking to get more active, you know, this spring and summer, it's going to start now, you know, here in the winter with some kind of a wellness plan. And I know that, you know, Doug represents an awful lot of wellness products on his site, all of which are tremendous. And I want to encourage everybody, you know, to take advantage of all of that, because not only is it going to help you, but it's also going to help the channel, you know, and help Doug and Eric's operation, which they desperately need. And, you know, just take advantage of that. It's a great time to embrace, you know, personal preparedness and personal health. And all of the sponsors on Doug's show, many of them are designed to help you do just that. So, you know, please, you know, take advantage of that. We would appreciate it very much.
All right. So where do you want to go from here?
Let's see what we got.
We can play some of these insurance company cancellation videos.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, let's check that out.
Because that's, so these two videos are from, I think, 9 months ago. And let me see here, a year ago.
Okay.
What video is that? I got to get to it. It's tough doing all this and trying to talk at the same time.
I know it is.
We're doing our best. All right. So this one is from 9 months ago. A major insurance company is about to cancel thousands of homeowners' policies in California. And a good old local news channel came out with this.
First at four, a major insurance company about to cancel.
I just have to laugh before this continues.
That's okay.
All right.
Let's go. Thousands of homeowner policies in California. Action News Now reporter Lauren Cooper is live in Chico with the details. Which company are we talking about, Lauren?
State Farm, Linda. It's the largest insurance company in California, and it says it's no longer going to renew policies for more than 70,000 homes. 30,000 houses and 42,000 apartment complexes are set to lose coverage due to the increased risk of natural disasters like wildfires and flooding. State Farm says inflation and outdated regulations were also the reason for the decision. And this decision comes just months after State Farm said it would stop taking new home insurance applications. California Department of Insurance shared this statement with me, saying in part, one of our roles as the insurance regulator is to hold insurance companies accountable for their words. State Farm General's decision today raises serious questions about its financial situation, questions the company must answer to regulators. They continue to say, to be effective for Californians, we join forces with other states so we can understand the basis for insurance companies' decisions and how they plan to recover financially. State Farm says this renewal makes up more than 2% of the policy count in the state. I'm Lauren Cooper reporting live in Chico with Action News Now, coverage you can count on.
Thank you, Lauren. Now, we have reached out to a State Farm agent to...
Thanks, Linda.
Wow. That's something, huh? My goodness.
I mean, boy. If I was an insurance company, I wouldn't offer fire protection in those areas, would you? You couldn't afford it. Not to be a downer, but
there needs to be some mechanism. I mean, I don't know how do these people exist? Do none of them have mortgages? I mean, how do you have a mortgage on a property that's millions of dollars that isn't backed up by fire insurance?
Yeah,
unless the bulk of the value is in the property itself, the land, which could be the case. I mean, you could have a $10 million property where the construction is really only $1 million. And maybe they feel they'll win if they recapture just the property because maybe they can resell it. That's the other thing. I mean, you look at this whole thing. I mean, insurance companies, banks don't like to lose money, right? So if there's a situation where somebody loses their $10 million valued home and only $1.2 million, let's say, is construction, you know, an eight or whatever is land value, maybe the bank makes money, you know, for taking it back or offering a buyout that's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it works, but they're not going to lose. I know that. But it just doesn't make any sense to me that anybody can have a mortgage that isn't backed up by homeowners insurance.
I mean, excuse me. It's ironic that apparently State Farm 9 months ago pulled insurance from a bunch of these people.
Yeah, it is. It is. And
now
we see
it's on
that
fire.
We see those kinds of things happen all the time. And surely they're not coincidences. I agree. I think it's terrible. I mean, just even with the recent, you know, COVID related instances of death and other problems they've had, probably mostly caused by the treatment. You look at these things and you think, well, how does the life insurance company, you know, stick around?
Yeah.
Because they're certainly going to be paying out a lot more than they normally would. I mean, they make billions and zillions anyway. I mean, nobody really has more money than life insurance companies, but it just seems shocking to me that it can happen. And certainly if we go into another episode, it's going to be, you know, it'll destroy that industry, I would think, you know, for most of the players. I just sent you an email a few minutes ago with a brand new Leo Homan video clip that just came out that we might want to take a look at. It was on Steve's site.
All right, let me.
I'm going to have to change batteries, so.
It's got to go through the NSA. So did you send it to the email that I sent you the Zoom link on?
I don't know. It's the one that came up in my thing. Let's see here. I'm in trouble getting my email open. Hold on one sec. Here it is. It's a Roadrunner email.
To us?
Yeah, D.
No, it's not that one.
Okay.
Just reply to the Zoom link I sent you.
Okay. All right. Just take me a second to make that happen. Let me see. We have another clip we could show in the meantime?
We can show. We can show that second clip of more insurance companies bailing on the people.
Okay.
Start off here in California, because when it rains, it pours, just like the storms that we saw this year. And now that we're just a little bit closer to summer, we are learning another home insurance provider is fanning the flames. Allstate has stopped accepting new policies in California because of wildfires, among other things. So you already know we're bringing it back to Hobegger with tonight's main point.
You know, Alex, if you buy a home in California and you're looking for an insurance policy, don't look to Allstate, State Farm, or AIG. AIG got out of California's homeowners insurance market altogether.
You're laughing. I'm laughing.
I'm laughing because it's the three biggest companies.
And this news lady would,
yeah, she's kind of weird. Yeah.
Would pound me into the ground.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
She broad
shoulders. Could be a firefighter, no question.
Yeah.
Not that we're cutting together, down, you know, in shape, ladies.
Allstate and State Farm are keeping their current homeowners insurance policies, just not taking new ones. Now, for many people in the state, this is a familiar story.
We keep our property pretty well, Claire.
Back in 2019, I spoke with Laura and Charlie Callahan, who'd owned their home in El Dorado County for more than 25 years.
We had our homeowners insurance for over 20 years, and we got the letter, as people refer to it. And we were canceled. I'm now paying four times what I was paying before. It's gone from less than $1,000 a year to almost $4,000 a year.
At the time, California Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara was holding town hall forums, hearing from people living in the foothills who were finding their homeowners insurance policy canceled or the cost sharply increased.
So you went from $2,483 a year.
Yeah, to it would be $4,885.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
In other words, it won't surprise folks in the foothills and other rural, more wildfire-prone areas to hear that now State Farm, Allstate, and AIG have stopped offering new homeowners insurance policies in California, with AIG leaving the homeowners insurance market here altogether. Allstate paused new homeowners, condo, and commercial insurance policies in California last year so we can continue to protect current customers, a spokesperson told us. State Farm stopped taking new applications, including all business and personal lines, property, and casualty insurance, effective May 27th, the company said. The California Department of Insurance's current customers will not lose their insurance, and people are still able to renew their existing policies. State Farm added they made this decision due to historic increases in construction costs outpacing inflation, rapidly growing catastrophe exposure, and a challenging reinsurance market.
There's some answers there.
Incredible. Just incredible. So just when people need it, they're being canceled or raised to the point that they can't afford it.
Yeah, so this It seems like it's on new home ownership. It seems like the insurance companies just can't afford it.
Yeah, or they don't want to afford it.
Yeah, both. I did get that video clip from Homan. Let me bring it up.
Yeah, let's check it out because I haven't seen it, so I have no idea what's on it, but it looks interesting.
Give me a second here.
I'm just going to be gone for 3 minutes. I'm going to change my battery.
Yep. Let me get through the intro. All right, let's see what Leo's got.
The first A Minute to Midnight show for 2025. Had a bit of a break for the last week or two, and today I'm...
Hello, Tony. Absolutely good to be with you. Thank you.
And, of course, there's just been nothing happening, so I don't know what we're going to talk about, you know. There's no news.
Right.
I'll tell you what, before we go anywhere, I don't know what your thoughts are on Donald Trump talking about Canada... And yeah. Greenland, at the moment, I'm thinking, now that sounds like Mr. Globalist kind of talk to me.
Well, yeah, especially if you consider all of the other statements he's made in the last couple of days vis-a-vis Greenland,
yeah,
vis-a-vis the Panama Canal, yeah. And Canada becoming the 51st state. He sent his son, Don Jr., on a mission to Greenland. Did you see the video that he posted?
No, I haven't. I knew his son had gone, but I haven't seen the video, no.
Yeah, his son, Don Jr., is in what appears to be a cafe in Greenland with a bunch of people, mesmerized and filming with their phones. They got chosen to be in the cafe with Don Jr., the president's son, and... Don Jr. has his daddy on the phone in this video that's posted to X, and Donald Trump, the soon-to-be president, is talking on the phone telling the people of Greenland how they really need to become part of America. For their safety and security. There's been too many ships recently sailing around Greenland, he said, that are from the wrong countries. And in order to be safe, basically, he was saying you need to align yourself with the United States of America. And couple that with statements he made at his press conference at Mar-a-Lago this morning, where he said a journalist asked him, could you guarantee, could you assure the people of the world that in light of your comments about Greenland and the Panama Canal, that you won't try to achieve these goals by military force? And Trump's response to the journalist was, no, I cannot assure you of that. Wow. And so it really does sound like Yankee imperialism on steroids heading towards January 20th, the inauguration. And top it off with this. There's actually a couple more points I'd like to make on this very same topic. And this is all coming from a person who voted for Trump, by the way. OK, so I want to clear the air right now. I'm not some never Trumper. But anyone with an ounce of Christian discernment can see that the incoming president is apparently going to be much more aggressive than he was in his first term in achieving his goals. Some of that could be good. Some of it could be bad. OK, that's all I'm trying to point out. And there's plenty of people pointing out the good aspects, the potential good of all of this. So, you know, let them have that podium. And I'm going to point out the bad since nobody else is really doing it. I say nobody. I mean, relatively a handful of people in the conservative movement are giving a balanced overview of what we can expect in the incoming Trump administration. So I'm going to err a little bit on the negative side because there's plenty of optimists out there who think President Trump is going to fix all of our problems. Yeah. We don't need to worry anymore. We can go back on our couches, drink our beers and go back to sleep, watch our football, go to our rock concerts and just forget about all this stressful stuff going on in the world. Donald Trump is going to take care of it all. He is our new Messiah. I can't tell you, Tony, how many times I've even seen conservative Trump sycophants in recent weeks even apply spiritual aspects, spiritual attributes to the 47th president of the United States. I heard one guy a couple days ago say that Donald Trump is open to being used as an instrument of the Holy Spirit. I kid you not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who it was because my phone would probably start blowing up, but he was a conservative Trump sycophant. I'll leave it at that. And I'm a Trump supporter. I would put myself in that camp in the sense that I voted for him. I clearly saw him as preferable to the alternative. We had, you know, two people on that ballot, and I chose Trump. Does that mean I'm going to support him every step of the way and not point out when I think he's going into error? No. That's what makes me different from a Trump supporter as opposed to a Trump sycophant. But, yeah, the other points I would like to make, in light of what we've already covered, Trump talking about making Canada the 51st state, Trump talking about retaking the Panama Canal, and Trump talking about very seriously purchasing, annexing, or somehow bringing into the U.S. orbit the vast landmass known as Greenland, which, of course, is wealthy with natural resources, right? And so it's very attractive.
And that's what we are talking about, the natural resources.
Exactly. You're
muted. There you go.
Exactly. And, you know, I think, though, I think that's part of it for sure. I don't know. Now, is it Denmark that owns Greenland now?
Oh, gosh.
I think it is. I think it is, which wouldn't be.
We need Doug's history brain right now.
I think it's Denmark. It's either Denmark or Holland, you know, the Netherlands, one or the other. I think it's Denmark. But maybe somebody in the chat knows.
Denmark.
Okay. And so, you know, does it really matter to Greenland whether they're under Denmark authority or U.S. authority? I mean, at this point, given the picture in Europe, I'd rather be with the U.S. I mean, if it were.
Yeah, I think they would make that decision. Yeah.
I think so. And, you know, I don't know whether they can or not. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm sure they just can't say to Denmark, hey, we're out of here. We're going, you know, we're going this way. I don't think they can do that, but maybe they can. I don't know. Maybe Denmark doesn't care. Maybe there'll be some value exchange, you know, of some kind.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely strange.
Leo, at the beginning, Leo was a little confusing. He's not saying Trump is the Messiah or anything like that.
No, no. He's saying that he was shocked that somebody was quoting spiritual. It was probably Glenn Beck.
It could have been.
It sounds like something Glenn would say.
Yeah.
Either it could be Hannity. Hannity doesn't ever really talk spiritual. So it's probably Glenn Beck because he's the only one I know that really. Or it might be Tucker Carlson. One of those two, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't think.
Definitely that, not Hannity. I mean,
I don't know. Trump is scary. You know, I mean, he's definitely heads in a way better than Kamala, you know, or other people that are out there. We know he's got the guts to do things that we feel would be appealing.
Yeah. He's also really careful.
There's a scary component there too. So.
Yeah. You have to be really careful.
Yeah, you do.
Who you pick. And unfortunately, in a two-party system, you only have the choice of two.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty limited.
So, yeah. I mean, there's things right now that I don't like. I don't like Elon's involvement. I don't like it at all.
Right.
Showing up to Halloween parties, Amazon events with Baphomet on your chest.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
And all of his background with his mom and...
And his ex-wife is a witch.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff there.
She's a Wiccan person.
And anybody can put on a face to please to. I mean, Elon is set up to potentially just take over the world with everything. He really could do that.
Well, and his whole you know, involvement with that Stanford group, you know, Peter Thiel and, you know, Thiel's tie-in, you know, to the vice president. I mean, all of it's just too bizarre, too happenstance, too coincidental. Doesn't make any sense. You know, definitely there's, you know, there's where there's smoke, there's fire. There's definitely something going on there, which is obviously very concerning. And you know, all it takes to really kick things into high gear with total federal control is to really wrap it up in the American flag. And Trump, more than anybody, is capable of doing that. I mean, you know, when Bush and those guys did it, it always had an air, you know, of fakeness. But with Trump, it could seem authentic, even though it may not be. And that's the thing. You know? So
I hope that Trump is on our side. I hope that he is not an asset. One day we could be proven wrong. I remember Doug talking about, this was back when he started radio and voted for Bush. And it was a couple years after that he started the show and he's like, what was I doing? Like,
yeah, you don't know. I mean, everybody was for Bush, you know, at that, or everybody I knew, you know, at that point, you know, with the war, you know, in the Middle East and all that, it was rah, rah. And it was just terrible. I mean, the outcome is nothing. I mean, you know, it's a thing that they do, a game that they play, you know, like a regime change creation, you know, get them locked into the government debt. I mean, it's just a thing that they keep running over and over and over again. And then not to mention there's all kinds of spiritual underpinnings, you know, like the what did they really, you know, find, you know, in the Middle East, you know, all these different things that come into play. It's tough to sift through it and understand it, you know, for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, we don't personally know Trump. All we can do is just hope that he is who he has become, to quote Kamala.
Well, that's the whole thing. And I think, you know, I think Kennedy is a great example of somebody that, you know, could have been, you know, very evil, you know, because of his family background. But at the end of the day, I think he turned out to be a great president, you know, John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
And really my favorite president. And I think that that could be the case too. I mean, people change. Now, the problem is we've got this technocracy tie-in that we never had to the degree that we do now.
Yep.
And boy, is it going to be difficult to overcome that. I mean, other than an actual electric grid shutdown, I don't know that you could do it.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody would hope for that. But, you know, one of the premises of this Indian fellow that we listened to early on was he said the only way to save the country is with a civil war.
That's true.
Because it'll clean out, you know, some of the junk, you know, that's there that you just can't overcome, you know, through normal channels.
Yeah. There's only two options to clean house. That's right. Civil war or Jesus comes.
Right. Yep, I agree. And you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be interesting to see and watch, and the whole economic tie-in, and you know what's really happening there. I mean, the ever increasing debt. Can they shrink the government down? Will it make a difference? I don't know that it will.
Yeah,
the government debt is so huge that you know,
China owns us, so I mean they can. I always joke, like, all the Chinese illegals coming across, they're just coming home. They own us.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's true in a lot of ways.
But a man is easy to control. He doesn't need to be brainwashed, doesn't need to be programmed. Just threaten his whole family.
Right. Right.
Because he can't protect his whole family.
Right. And that could be the case here, too.
Yeah.
And probably is at some level.
And plus, like, what backroom debt does he have with maybe some past people? It's endless. Sure. That's why we see Goldman Sachs people still being hired.
Yep.
Like some of the picks. So, yeah, it can be confusing.
Yep. Well, at least some of these real crazy things I think will be dialed back. which again gives us kind of a reprieve, you know, for at least a few years, which is
I hope he is who he says he is now. I really do.
So do I. I have
because we hope. Need it. We need it.
All right. What else we got here?
We can continue with Holman for a couple more minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that would be interesting. I'd like to see what he has to say because this is supposed to be kind of an intro to the new year, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is I assume he's going to wrap up with Canada and then we can move on.
Okay. Let's see.
To the United States. With all of that out there, as we've already reported, let's consider this bombshell. Kevin O'Leary, who is a bit of a TV personality with the show Shark Tank, okay? He's a businessman. He's a Canadian citizen. He's an entrepreneur, and he has this show called Shark Tank that's very popular where, you know, he hears these proposals from other budding entrepreneurs and, you know, puts his money into some of them or tells others that their idea is flawed and get out of my sight, you know. Anyway, he, Kevin O'Leary, appeared on Fox News yesterday or the day before and said that he recently had a meeting with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. He's friends with Trump. And encouraged him to pursue, to revive the old idea of creating a North American union.
That's exactly where I was going to think. I was going to say, all you need is Mexico to join as well.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and then Trump came out today at the same press conference where he was talking about Greenland, Panama, and what have you, and the journalists asked him, can you guarantee that you won't use military force to accomplish these goals? And he said, no, I cannot guarantee that. You know, he also, at that same press conference, said that we need to and we are going to. He didn't say we need to. He said, the United States government is going to rename the Gulf of Mexico and call it the Gulf of America. Did you see?
And Trump said, that is a beautiful name. Those are his words.
Yeah, and this is what we talked about in the beginning. I mean, I just remember, you know, 20 years back, they talked about the North American Union and, you know, the Amero replacing the dollar, which could be the new, you know, digitized money called something else, you know, or that. And, you know, people are going to buy off on it because it's Trump. And it's wrapped in an American flag.
Yep.
And, you know, it gets the powers that be to where they wanted to be 20 years ago by different means. And it's very, very dangerous because, you know, you have a situation where because of that, we lose even further our national identity. And, you know, could we even overcome the influx of all the, you know, new immigrants.
See, I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did.
I don't think we can.
How do we police that?
I don't think you can.
We barely have enough police force. I mean, you'd have to use military to start, but we could be in war.
Well, and I think it is certainly would cause a backlash. I mean, you've got a lot of people that have been here 4 or 5 years. They're established. Many of them are probably productive citizens. I mean, there's quite a few that are not, I'm sure, but
yeah, absolutely.
Many of them,
Mexico
are.
And Canada.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really great people, but there's also a lot of really not great people.
That's right. That's right. Well, the Panama Canal is essential. I mean, we've got to take that back. You know, Panama as a country wouldn't even exist were it not for the United States. I mean, we created that country. We got it away from Colombia. It was a jungle area, you know, inaccessible. You know, with the Darien Gap. I mean, it was just, we created that whole thing, which is why if you go to Panama City, it's almost like New York City, you know, in South America.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of they use the dollar, you know, it's just like being in America South. I mean, it really is. And, you know, the people speak English, you know, fluent English. And I think that, that has to happen. I don't think we want that falling into the hands of China. It's too important.
Yeah. I mean,
so
Michael Yon wouldn't be there if it wasn't important.
That's right.
I mean, he lives there. He literally lives there. And he has shown us so much evidence of trafficking of people and migration and drugs, and it's endless.
Yeah, I saw some photos today of RPG rockets that they found, you know, trying to come across the border. I thought that was interesting.
Great.
You know, handheld rockets.
Yeah. Yeah, let's let those in, you know?
Shh. My goodness. Crazy stuff.
That'd be sweet to collect Panama, though.
Yeah, I think we ultimately probably will.
Be a nice place to build a little getaway.
Tomorrow is the Jimmy Carter Memoriam service, isn't it? And
is it
some kind of a quasi federal holiday? I believe.
Yeah.
He's the one that gave the Panama Canal to the Panamanians for Donald. Yeah.
And Trump's going to attend that, isn't he?
I don't know. I would assume.
His court date's coming up.
Right. I wonder what's going to happen there. What, the 15th?
Yeah, his lawyers are working around the clock to just get it dismissed.
Yeah, what is the deal with that guy, that merchant guy? I mean, he's a whack job.
Yeah.
The whole case is just malarkey.
Can we sick our trans army on him, too? I mean,
how in the wide world of sports can some person come forward, 20 years ago and say so-and-so attacked me in a dressing room. I mean, isn't that what this is? Is that
pretty
this
much,
is this the claiming of the assets value? Is this
everything?
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. It's one after another. You can't keep track of it. The whole thing is just ludicrous.
I mean, if Trump has to go, he said that he's going to video in. He's not going to go there.
What is the statute of limitations anyway? I mean, this whole sex thing, is it because it was a civil suit, right? That it doesn't have anything to do with the statute of limitations. The whole thing with the dressing room, the woman got $100 million or some crazy.
I don't know.
Give me a break. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And I mean, he's the last guy that needs to attack some woman in a dressing room. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But back to Canada, Mexico, Greenland, Panama. Like, the first thing I thought when I heard of that was, what do we do with the people? Especially Mexico. I'm going to say especially Mexico.
I don't think we would take Mexico. I think there would be a solidification maybe of the relationship. But, you know, the Canadian thing I could kind of sort of see.
Yeah,
because
there's so much 99% crossover.
Of the Canadian population lives within 100 miles of the border.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, I mean, they shop in America. They cross the border. I mean, I have clients in my water company, you know, in Canada. You know, it's easy to see a relationship there. Mexico, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
Greenland, it's kind of a no-brainer. Because I think we controlled it at one point in World War II. I know we built a air base there, which was negotiated.
Yeah.
That was a whole deal. That was with Denmark and the Danish ambassador and some shenanigans. And there was a movie done about it. You know, something was going on there. It was kind of interesting because at one point Denmark had been taken over by the Nazis and he was over here. You know, the Danish ambassador was in America and he kind of continued to fight against the Nazis, even though his home country was taken over by them. And there was something going on with Roosevelt and somehow they settled this thing by promising to build an air base, you know, in Greenland, which we desperately needed at that point, you know, to fight the war in Europe. It's a very interesting story. So there's always been kind of a thing going on there with Greenland anyway. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it kind of comes out of the blue, kind of comes out of left field, doesn't it? This whole Greenland thing. And
yeah, I think it's part of Trump's art of the deal, scare tactics.
Right. Something's going on. It's weird. Don Jr. flies over there. You know, it's weird.
Yeah. But isn't it ironic that Trudeau is stepping down?
Well, I saw today that he isn't.
Oh, he's not now?
He said that he was, but now there's some legal thing that he's going to do that stops it? Or I read an article about it. I didn't delve into it, so I'm not sure. It seemed legitimate, but we'll have to see. That's a Fidel, whole strange deal, too. That guy's a wacko.
Fidel Jr.
Right. Right, exactly. No question. God. Stuff is, you can't make this stuff up. You don't even need to read novels anymore. You can just watch the news.
Yeah. Well, we've got 9 minutes left. We need to close.
Do we have any comments from people in the chat?
They said that we suck. So
that's no, okay.
I'm kidding. Yeah. We got a lot of good comments.
You're entitled. That. This was an unplanned event, you know, and yeah. I usually go to bed. I'm usually asleep by 10 o'clock. It's now 11 o'clock. So I'm not up to par. I get up at like, you know, very early in the morning. We have a rural farm property here and we operate our businesses, you know, from this property as well. We've got two warehouses and a workshop and all kinds of stuff. But
boomers and their bedtimes.
That's right. That's right. So should I mention just a little bit about my company?
Yes, please.
So I don't know. Can you bring up that slide that kind of shows the Hagman shopping cart? If you click on that link on the Hagman PI website at the top in the
let me get there.
Top border.
I'll get there. You can
continue. Worries. No rush.
Your water's pretty good too, by the way.
Well, you haven't gotten acclimated to it yet. It takes a while.
Yeah.
It takes a few weeks of heavy use. And it can be shocking to the system initially. It's a very, very powerful detox mechanism, which is why it was so popular amongst many hundreds of wellness doctors.
All right, here it comes.
Okay, so if you take a look at the Hagman cart, which is accessible on the HagmanPI.com website.
Right at the top,
click at the very top. Yeah, what is that called? Top nav bar?
Yeah, it's...
Okay, top.
Just
top,
the top people.
Top, okay.
Top left.
So if you click on that, you'll see a couple of things. Can you scroll down just a little bit here? Okay, good. So that's the Hagman hat that we give away with every one of these units on the right. And that unit on the right that you're looking at, that's called the BioProtect unit. That is probably the best, easiest, fastest to install point of use water filter system out there on the market. It's a high pressure build. It comes with a solid stainless steel braided tubing, which is a compression connection directly to your cold water circuit under your sink. So all the cold water at your sink where this is installed will be moving through this filtration system. And there's not another filtration system on the planet like this one. And I'll tell you why. What happens is it's not only designed to reduce and remove a lot of the disinfectant compounds that are in the water, but it's going to specifically attack any biological components that are in that water as well. Now, it's not a full-blown RO-driven purification system like the more popular AlkaPurity on the left, but it's a lot more affordable. You know, the BioProtect, I think, is $297 on special. You get the free Hagman hat, which is a $35 value.
That Hagman BioProtect package, I'd assume, is really good for preps. Because that's something you could purchase. It's affordable and you could just hold on to it until you need it.
It is. And you know, a lot of people run across these boil orders and other things that happen. Legally, we're not allowed to tell you that any filtration system, even an RO system at 99.8% purification, is valid against a bio order. But I can tell you that I would use it if I was in that area. And again, all of these things are only as good as their maintenance. So we recommend, you know, filter cartridge change every 12 months, every 12 to 14 months. The limited lifetime warranty on the equipment is applicable as long as you're ordering, continue to order from us. So it's like a 1-year warranty that gets renewed every time you order filter cartridges. So consequently, we have, you know, very, very strong filter reorder rates. Not only that, but this BioProtect unit doesn't even address the alkaline antioxidant aspect of what we do as a company, which is really the reason why we're in business. So that's kind of like an economy get started model. And then you can, down the road, if you want to, supplement that unit with one of our antioxidant cartridges, which are about $100 each. And that'll then convert that unit to also be an alkaline antioxidant product at a great value. So it's an entry product. Now, the system on the left, the AlkaPurity, we give $150 discount to all the Hagman listeners on that product. It lists for over $1,000. That product there is the ultimate water delivery system that you're ever going to have in your house. And the reason is that it's a complete and total 99 percentile purification product. So,
and this is the water that I drink.
Yes, on the left, the AlkaPurity. Yep. And there's a couple of different versions of that model. You're looking at the base model, which is called the AlkaPurity HD. And so not only does that totally purify the water of all contaminants and all microchemicals, which is a huge issue for a lot of folks, especially if you have, you know, well water, bacteria problems in your water. If you've got the municipal water, you're in a urban area where there's manufacturing and you've got the heavy metals in the water, you've got the manufacturing runoff, you've got the, you know, the heavy fluorosilic acid, the fluoride, all that stuff. It's going to remove all that stuff. And then what happens is the water moves through what we call our energized media solution, which is a proprietary antioxidant media blend that we pioneered back in 2010. So if anybody in the audience has seen these Kangen water machines, you know, the water ionizers, there's four or five, you know, really good companies that make them. Enagic or Kangen, you know, is one of those companies. These machines run between $2,000 and $4,000. They're electric. They work off of an electrolysis chamber, which splits the incoming water into two streams, one containing acidic minerals, one containing alkaline minerals. And that's how they operate. Now, they use electricity. They use a metal-coated, electrocharged, electrostatic plates in the build of the water chamber. And these things require a lot of maintenance down the road. They also don't do a good job of purifying the water, which is a major problem. They do energetically create a microclustered alkaline antioxidant water, as we do, but they do it with electricity, and that comes at a price because you can't use purified water through those devices. They won't work. They have to have alkaline material in the source water to begin with, and since most of the microchemicals that we're trying to avoid is smaller in particulate size than the minerals, you're going to get that too. There's nothing you can do about it. So I just think that our non-electric full-blown purification system, the AlkaPurity, is the way to go. It's a lot less expensive. It's a lot more durable over time and distance. When you change out cartridges every year, 14 months, in essence, you have a brand new system every time you do that. The other products out there that are much more expensive can't compete with that. And not only that, but it's a much more natural type of alkaline antioxidant water because it's not created with electricity. You can actually use those electric machines to create pH upwards of 10.5, and nobody's got any business drinking water with that high of a pH. I mean, you can actually remove grease from a driveway with pH 10.5. It's not good for your intestines. There's nowhere in God's earth that the water is more in a natural setting greater than an 8.5 pH. And we push about a 9 with the AlkaPurity unit, generally speaking, which is just a great mix of alkalinity. It's got that alkaline antioxidant media in it, which carries this very slight negative electrical charge. So it behaves as an antioxidant in the body. The chief purpose that a lot of these wellness companies use our products for is weight control. And I mention that because we're entering a season now of weight control. More people are interested in losing weight January, February than they are any other time of the year. They're getting ready for the spring. A lot of us are partaking.